And welcome back to Coast to Coast. L.A. Marzulli, our special guest. We're going to continue talking with him about the Nephilim hybrids and take your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. L.A. Marzulli with us. Nephilim hybrids. Great book, by the way. Great pictures inside, too.
Appreciate it.
This creature that you've got on there in the middle, right after page 48, It really is weird.
Are you talking the fairy or?
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing is just, Jaime actually sent me a picture of when he first received it. And it's got even more detail. It's even more unnerving. And again, I just go back to the x-rays. Because when we looked at it, we didn't know what it was. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before or since. And the x-rays to me, and I've had other medical doctors look at them. I've had a radiologist look at them. Obviously, the veterinarian. I had a nurse come up and look at them. The hunters who came up at the conference identified the birdshot as number 7 birdshot. They also could tell by the placement of the birdshot in the creature. They shot that thing between 50 and 75 feet away. So, you know, we just keep getting more and more evidence. We're trying to get a forensic pathologist to look at the x-rays. That could be very telling. I had one medical doctor who said that the thing was, according to him, he looked at this thing, looked at the x-rays, and from a forensic pathology point of view, he stated that, in his opinion, the thing was still alive when it hit the ground.
Oh, wow.
And it broke its leg hitting the ground and fractured its shoulder. That was his assessment. So, I mean, it's very interesting.
Have they looked at it, x-rayed it? Does it have like a little heart, little lungs, everything like that?
Everything is in there. The skeletal system is there. That's why we really need a forensic pathologist to examine it. The veterinarian looked at it, and he said, and he kept going back to this, and nervous laughter. I've got the audio. It's nervous laughter. He goes, you know, it sure looks real. If somebody put this thing together, they did a masterful job. And then why? I mean, the kid who found it gave it to Jaime. There was not like thousands of dollars exchanged. It was nothing like that. Jaime sat on this thing for years. And then he let us break the story and go figure. And we've done sort of due diligence with it. I sent the x-rays to one of the top radiologists in the United States. And this guy wrote me back. And he stated on the record that, when I say on the record, he won't come on the record, but I mean, to me, he came on the record. And he said, my gut tells me it's got to be a hoax. My gut tells me it's got to be a hoax, but I'm not so sure. Right? And this is one of the top radiologists. He couldn't say one way or the other, you know, because he's looking at this thing and he's never seen anything. And he says it in the letter. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what to make of it. My gut says it's a hoax, but it looks real.
Any idea how old it is, L.A.?
No clue.
Nothing.
Absolutely no clue.
I guess it can be carbon dated, though, couldn't it?
Probably, although I don't think you can carbon date. Well, no, I guess you can carbon date. I suppose we could do that.
You could.
It's just like when you're looking at the giant, Georgia, and you were commenting on Steve Quell's story and then the story that we added to Steve Quell's story. What's interesting here is there's got to be more than one of these things. Where did it come from?
They obviously breed because they're here.
Absolutely. It raises more questions than it answers. And I find that incredibly alarming. And it also echoes what we read about in Revelation chapter 9. I'm not stating that this is what comes up out of the abyss, but I got to tell you, it fits the bill.
Yeah.
You know, in many ways.
Well, are they insect? Are they animal? Are they human? Are they, you know, are they some kind of other creature? Are they demons? Who knows?
It's some kind of chimera, in my opinion, but that's just my personal take on it.
And are they extraterrestrial?
Well, here's the deal. You know, the name of the book is Nephilim Hybrids, okay? And the subtitle is Chimeras and Strange Creatures. What we believe, you know, not all Nephilim are giants.
No.
Okay, yeah, we get that. Some of them are. But others may not be. Others may be the elongated skulls that we see in Peru, which certainly aren't giants. They're not like 9 or 10 footers or anything like that. but they're very, very bizarre. And some of our findings with the archaeologists that examined many of these skulls, we feel that there's some sort of genetic manipulation. The key to this is the seed of a serpent is enmity with the seed of the woman. We talked about that when I first got on the show this evening. We think, when I say we, the team of people, Richard Shaw, Brian Forrester, both of our archaeologists, Rick Woodward, Mondo Gonzalez, and Chase Klonsky, we feel that there's some sort of genetic manipulation going on here. An outside agency is manipulating the human genome. That's what we feel. And Brian Forrester believes that too.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Michael in Iowa to get things started on the wild card line. Michael, go ahead.
I have a prophecy before me that seems to be describing what you were talking about, the very first creature there. It says this: the locusts look like horses ready for battle. On their heads were what seemed to be gold crowns. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like a lion's teeth. In the front, they had what seemed to be iron armor on their chests. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of many chariots and horses running to battle. They have tails with stingers, just like scorpions. And in their tails was the power to hurt people. Their king was the angel from the abyss, whose in the Hebrew's name is Abaddon, and in Greek it's Apollyon. That's Revelation chapter 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's bizarre, isn't it, L.A.?
Well, what amazes me, and thank you for reading that. I really appreciate it.
Right on.
I got to tell you, the first time, and again, we're in Jaime's office. Jaime reaches up, picks this jar out of the closet, sets it on his desk, and bounds out of the room. And we're sitting here going, he's got to be kidding me. And I'm looking at this thing in the jar, and my first thought is, oh my gosh, that reminds me of Revelation 9. That's my first thought. That reminds me of what is described coming up out of the abyss. I'm not saying it is, but I got to tell you, it certainly ties back into that.
Strange. Sylvia in Chatsworth, California. Hi, Sylvia. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. How are you?
We're great.
First off, I want to say that I am blind, and at the Braille Institute in Los Angeles, you have a great following. We love you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank them all for me.
Okay. Well, I was wanting to say, and hi, L.A., there's actual footage of that thing flying.
You have actual footage of the creature flying?
Yes, you can go. You can write this down. It's top 10 angel encounters caught on tape flying. You must put that in. And out of the top 10, it's the last one. Or you could put in UK fairy, because in the UK.
Oh, the UK fairy. Yeah, we've looked at that, and both Richard and I think it's a hoax. It doesn't look anything like what we found. And it's basically CGI. The whole thing is staged. I know what you're talking about. I've seen it.
Oh, the top 10?
Yeah, I've seen that one. We feel it's completely staged. Yeah.
Okay. Well, very convincing.
Hey, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. And I got to tell you, Sylvia.
Thanks, Sylvia.
It's comments like yours which keeps us on our toes, because before we broke this story, Jaime allowed us to break it. Before we even did that, Richard and I were really careful. We were kind of going like, do we run with this thing? What if it's a hoax and we get egg on our faces? And for us, the x-rays and the vet looking at it, that's what tipped the scale.
Where is it now?
Jaime's got it in his possession. We're trying to get it up into the States to do extensive testing on it.
Does he have it hidden, guarded, put in a safe? Where?
it's probably in the same cabinet above his desk.
Somebody could just walk in and take it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Next up, we go to Kelly in Sholo, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the program. Hey, Kel?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I was disconnected. Thank you.
There you are.
Yeah. I kind of got to go slow with this because I get excited, but I'd really like to meet with L.A. I've been living in the middle of an ancient community of these for about 2 years, and they're alive and well. And I talked to archaeologists and paleontologists way beyond their scope. And I've got artifacts. I got thousands of pictures, thousands of videos. I met with MUFON way beyond their scope. But, you know, I like she said with that other guy, like I've met with him. I've never been afraid of him. My wife doesn't want to come back. And I live out in a remote area off the grid. And they taught me in exchange for things that they've been taking because I know it and haven't said anything. They taught me just so much. And I'll meet with them. And when I first met with them, you know, I had to get home and I'm on a dirt road. And I said, no, I got to get home. I can't just stop. Because they don't, the things that I mean, they don't communicate verbally. It's
telepathic.
And so I said, meet me at my place. I mean, just like that in my mind. So out in the back, at the edge of my property, I saw two lights, but and they're up about 9 feet tall. So this is a first encounter where I've learned how to speak with them. And first, I don't know what I said. I just closed my eyes. I had a gun, the camera. I said, I'm leaving it in the car. I walked out to them. And what came to mind for me, I don't know why, I said, I don't know who you are, the elements you're made of. I know you got a bad rap. And I said, and I said, you know, you haven't hurt me. Don't hurt my wife. I love her very much. And I said, and you can't have much of a worse rap than the humans do because we rip our babies out of the womb, limb by limb. And I said, but I want you to know something. I said, I do believe in my Father, the Most High, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. So if you have a problem with that, then we need to address this now. I don't know why I said this. And then as I said that, they sat there to them for a little bit, and then they slowly backed off. But it hadn't scared them away. And I've got so much evidence of this. It's just incredible. It's still, there was a phase where it was really heavy, and they really toned down that phase. But they'll still show up. The shape shifting, I got pictures of that. I got, you know, there's so many different things. And L.A., it sounds like he's someone that might come and spend some time. It'd take me 2 months with him, solid, for him to see and learn everything I've learned. And it's all solid evidence. I mean, I just found, they taught me how to find them, what to look for, and it's way beyond Native American.
All right. How does he get a hold of you, L.A.?
Shoot me an email, la@lamarzulli.net. Pretty straight ahead.
Right off your website as well?
That's it, right off the website.
Well, best way to go. What's new with Paracas?
Wow. Basically, we're getting closer to actually getting permits to go down and take multiple samples from multiple skulls. And we've learned in the last 3 years the best way to do it. The samples that we tested were hair samples that we were legally able to take out from Senior Juan's Museum. And there's no scalp attached, it's just hair. And the hair samples were tested in different laboratories. Out of the three DNA labs, only one of them would come on the record with us. And I promised the other two labs I would not divulge names and where they were, who did the testing. We have written reports from them, but without letterhead. The only lab that would come on the record was the Canadian lab. The Canadian lab tested a skull which came from La Oroja. We talked about this the last time. Greatly elongated. It doesn't look anything like a normal human skull. In our opinion, there's no way that you can cradle headboard a skull like this. You kill the child. The forehead, the frontal plate, goes back pretty much at a 45-degree angle. And we were able to procure powder from that skull and do DNA testing on it. And that testing came back the haplogroup, which I mentioned earlier, T2B, which is Syria, Mesopotamia. So look, all that report is in toto, verbatim, in the back of the book, Nephilim Hybrids. It's right there. It's the only lab that will come on the record with us. The two labs in the States will not come on the record with us. The geneticist that originally was working with us was fired for working with us. So there's all sorts of stuff going on with this.
Just an amazing amount of research has gone into this from you, from, remember Lloyd Pye's work?
Lloyd Pye, sure. Yeah. Lloyd Pye, the late Lloyd Pye. George, we are on the trail, and this is what people don't get. It's like, here's hardcore, solid DNA evidence that we show in the book. In the movie. We're not making this stuff up.
it's hard science. And some of the skeptics out there, they've never seen the film. They have no idea what the evidence actually states, but they're so sure it doesn't state what we say it is. And then they say, well, we don't have the paperwork. The paperwork's right there. We show the paperwork in the book. We've got geneticists coming in on the record. Stephen and Renee Frappietro. In fact, I talked with Stephen today up in the lab in Canada. There's ongoing research. He's actually trying to extract more DNA from the hair samples that he has left to see if there's any anomalies, see if he can pull out more information for us. So the research is ongoing. And we're not saying the Paracas people were Nephilim. We're not saying that. But our hypothesis has been that Nephilim tribes were in the Promised Land, and when Joshua and Caleb pressed in and began to eradicate these hybrid entities, there was a diaspora. And if that's true, then we should see evidence of that. That's what the Catalina research is all about, 9-footer on Catalina Island. I mean, I'm not making that up. There it was in the archives. You can see it for yourself in the book and the way the museum is redacted. I think one of the startling discoveries, which we've never mentioned, it's in the film, Watcher's DNA. It's also in the book. Rick Woodward contacted me. He's an archaeologist. And he was stating that L.A., we think, and he's examined hundreds, if not thousands, of skulls. He maintains, and there's pictures up on your website showing this. You can see it for yourself. The skull on the right is a normal human skull. The other skulls are cast from the Paracas. And you can see that circular area, the opening is a different shape.
Yeah, very strange.
Size, and it's also placed in a different position than a normal human skull. And that, we think, is genetic. And that's why more DNA testing needs to be done. There's an outside agency that's manipulating the human genome. But that's exactly what we stated at the very first 5 minutes of the show. The seed of the serpent will be at enmity, at war with the seed of the woman. And it's all about the seed. And seed in the Hebrew is sperma. That's what it is. And it's genetic information. And we're looking at chimeras. We're looking at genetic tampering. It's incredible. But we're seeing evidence that seems to point to that.
Would you be scared if you saw these creatures coming at you at night?
The fairy?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You would?
Yeah.
Would you run, jump in your car? What would you do?
That's really interesting. The first thing I would do is I tell people this at conferences, I would rebuke first and ask questions later. Yeah, that's what I would do. I would, as loud as I possibly could. The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien was a believer. And there's that one thing when Gandalf raises his staff and goes, "You shall not pass." And that's the kind of thing I put on my armor every day. I put that on every day. And I would hope that if I met with something like that, my first instinct would immediately to be rebuking. And I've trained myself to do that. I've never had to use it because I've never seen anything like that coming at me. But if it did, that's my default.
It looks evil, L.A.
I agree. I totally agree with you, George. It certainly isn't Winnie the Pooh.
No, it's not one of those things you'd want to give to a little kid to pet with and say, here.
Especially with that scorpion stinger thing on the back with the tail. Very nasty.
Well, in the fact that, as we hit from the call, that it kind of echoes Revelation.
Yes.
That's weird, too, because, you know, assuming it's not a hoax, and we don't know what it is, it matches what's in Revelation.
It matches fairly closely. And again, this is... We don't know where this thing comes from. Is it a male or female? We don't know. We don't know what we're seeing in the book of Revelation. Are they dressed? Are that some sort of a uniform they're dressed with? Is that why this thing doesn't match it exactly? But it's got wings. It's got the tail like a scorpion. It does have teeth like a lion. We've seen that. It's very bizarre looking.
It's something. We're going to come back and take final calls with L.A. Marzulli, Nephilim Hybrids, next. And welcome back, L.A. Marzulli with us. L.A., what's your next project?
Well, we're actually working on Watchers 11. We're getting people lined up to do interviews. We feel disclosure might be sooner than later. And what I'm talking about is what I call the coming great deception. It's the game changer, whatever label we want to put on it. When the UFO phenomenon is actually revealed on some level, or at least disclosed, to the American people, it will change the entire planet as we know it. I mean, it really will. It'll be a total game changer.
How will people react, in your opinion?
I think people will abandon basically abandon traditional religion as we know it now. This will lead to the globalization and a one-world political system, a one-world government, a one-world religious system, which has been prophesied by ancient prophetic texts thousands of years ago. So that doesn't come as a surprise to me. I think that would amalgamate everything very nicely if the so-called overlords show up. It changes everything, and especially if they're touting some interesting bonuses like a DNA upgrade. Take this little implant, and it'll change your DNA, and you'll live for 300 to 500 years disease-free. We've talked about this on the show before, and I've written about that 3 or 4 books ago, the idea of the cosmic chess match. I think that the implants that we've taken out of people, and we did this in Watchers 7 and Watchers 8 with the late Dr. Roger Lehr, which was just incredible, that implant that we took out, number 17, vanished. It was not there, George. And I've talked about that at length on your show. It wasn't there. We couldn't find it when we were in the operating room. And I just shot up a quick prayer because it had been an hour and 20 minutes. And I'm in a room full of people that don't believe in this stuff. That's fine. So I just said, look, guys, I'm going to pray. This might sound really weird, but I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do it now. And it was just something real simple. Father, if there are forces which are cloaking this device, I pray that you would break their power and do it soon. George, within less than 2 minutes, less than a minute, this thing appeared on the ultrasound machine monitor, on the ultrasound monitor out of nowhere. And everybody, including Dr. Roger Lehr, everyone was freaked out, including myself. I go, oh, my gosh, what's that?
Something.
And 2 days later, the last time I saw Roger before his untimely passing, several years ago now, hard to believe it's been that long.
Oh, my God, I know. We miss him.
But he looked at me, and I said, I told him, I said, Roger, it was one-on-one in the hallway, just the two of us, at Seal Lab, and because we're looking at the implant under a scanning electron microscope. Real science, folks. And I said, Roger, I hope you realize what happened in that operating theater. And he looked at me, George, and his eyes got real big, and he said, L.A., I now believe that there's a supernatural component to the implants and the extraterrestrial phenomenon, and I'm going to tell Whitley Strieber about it. And that was the last time we ever spoke. And when we went to Peru, we got back from Peru, and Roger, a couple of weeks later, had passed away. So we really miss him. He was a pioneer and just a great guy.
One of a kind, and nobody's replaced him yet.
Nope.
Not like that.
Not like that.
To the phones we go, Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Marzulli.
Hi, yeah, how you doing?
I'm so glad that you guys are talking about hybrids and, I suppose, the newest entities that we are experiencing, and that would be these genetically engineered reptilian clones that mimic and look like regular humans. But there's something strange about these quote-unquote people running all around our country and perhaps other countries in this weird experiment. And it makes me think about that film featuring the late Roddy Piper called They Live, where if you were, you know, if you was wearing a certain pair of sunglasses, you could see these alien-type demonoids, hybrids, for what they really are and how they really look like. You know, I call them demonoids. But my question is this, Mr. Marzulli. Have you heard that old saying, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Nephilim. How did they get their information, and from where and from whom and what entity? And what is the ultimate intent of these hybrid Nephilim, genetically engineered reptilian clones walking amongst us now? And I'll take your answer off the air.
A lot of questions.
But you can handle it, L.A.
Let's go back to the basics. The Nephilim are the progeny of the fallen angels. And remember, angel just means messenger. So whatever these entities are, they have the ability, the Greek word is metaskizmatosai, which means they have the ability to appear pretty much as whatever they want. They can appear as men if they want. They can appear as women. They can appear as whatever they want. Metaskizmatosai. They can change their shape. They mate with the women of Earth. There's genetic information that somehow is passed, and that's sperma, because we know that's what the ancient prophetic text tells us. And the offspring of this unholy union is the Nephilim. This is the reason for the flood. But then they occur afterwards. And I think that the breeding program that's going on now, the hybridization, the black-eyed kids, the hybrids that seem to be walking among us, and of course we're referring to Dr. Jacob's work, and I realize a lot of people look at that and poo-poo it, and we spent time with Dr. Jacob, and I've read his recent book, and, you know, Hybrids Walking Among Us, and frankly, I've got reports from people, which I've documented. I'll just tell you a real quick one. This guy's a pastor, okay? He's doing a prayer walk on a Saturday morning, just by himself in a park last year. Guy's name is Pastor Mike. So he's just doing this walk, minding his own business, just praying to himself, okay? In the distance, he sees a female jogger. She's 6'2 to 6'4. She's tall, athletic looking, whitish, striking, whitish, blondish hair, pulled back in a ponytail, very athletic looking. Okay, you know, women basketball players look like that. But for some reason, he's unnerved by what he's seeing. This woman starts running, and she runs towards him. And he's sort of on guard, but he's not sure why. He just feels uneasy. Their eyes meet about 15 to 20 feet away. He realizes she has striking pale blue eyes. Again, nothing happens. All of a sudden, the eyes change and go black. At this point, and he's rebuking first, ask questions later. Out loud, he's rebuking this thing. As she runs by him, she bares her teeth and growls. Bares her teeth and growls. And he texted me moments after it happened.
Gosh.
And I called him. I interviewed him. You know, it's all written down. He came on the record. And his text was, he told me the story, and his text was, "Welcome to the war." Now, was that a hybrid being? I don't know what it was. The eyes went black. She growled, bared her teeth at him. Sounds like a hybrid to me. But we don't know. I mean, there's so much that we don't know. So we put labels on them, and they may be misnomers.
Donald in Kent, Ohio. Hey, Don, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, L.A., I ran into it at Vienna, a suburb of Youngstown, a number of years ago, where you had an excellent video on mystery in the fast lane.
Yes.
And, you know, the gentleman that called in earlier, your first caller, was, you know, quoting, of course, Revelations 9, and these creatures are composite. They're basically, you know, chimera type, the locust. But it's interesting, in verse 4, they do not attack the people with the seal of God. So there's a religious component here.
Yeah, there is. Absolutely.
And, of course, the seal of God has to do with the Sabbath. But it states in, like, verse 5 that they can torment men for 5 months with their sting. But if you notice the important thing in verse 6, it says that men will seek death and not find it. So basically we're talking zombies here. The people have been genetically altered, maybe for vaccinations or something in their food, something of that. But in verse 9 is one of the key tickets. It says the locusts have the breastplates of armor, which means they can be killed with firearms. One of the big reasons America is being attacked on her Second Amendment rights issue. So you'll find that all the nations that have gun control will lose a majority of their population of these 200 million man army. But when you want to talk about dimensional travel real quick, in Job 1:7, God asks Satan where he's been. He says, walking to and fro in the earth. To and fro is a basically dimensional travel. But when you go to the composite or the comparison book of Revelation, which would be Daniel 12, it says, "And many shall run to and fro, not walk, but run to and fro at the end of time." So some secrets are going to be open about dimensional travel. We will have the ability, I believe, to run to and fro. When you get into 2 Samuel 21, it says the giants of Gath had 6 fingers and 6 toes. And if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there were men that had faces like lions.
Yes.
And 2 Samuel 23, Ben and I killed 2 lion-like
men.
This had been going on for centuries.
It's absolutely. It's been going on, and it's been swept under the rug.
And we don't hear about it. It's only through Coast to Coast and programs like this that we are informed.
Yes. Thank you, George.
Yeah. Well, thank you, L.A., because you and people like Richard Shaw bring us the information that allows us to get it out to everybody.
There you go.
And I love it. I'm still in awe with your cover on the Nephilim hybrids. This little creature in the formaldehyde just really just looks evil.
I got to tell you, it completely freaked us out. I'll never forget it when Jaime just reached up and brought the thing down, set it on the desk, and Richard and I looked at each other, And I just went, you have got to be kidding me. Do you think it's real? And we just kind of gave each other the, I don't know. And then Jaime's gone. It's just that we're in the room alone with this thing. So the camera comes out and we pick up the jar. We're looking at it, holding it. And then later on that day, Ricardo Rangel came in and took the thing out of the jar and got it x-rayed. We were there when the x-rays came back. And we're all crowded around, hold them up, look at them, and like, what are these white things? Well, they look like implants. Because that's what we thought maybe they were. We didn't know what they were. They really were mysterious 3 years ago when we saw them. It was only when we went to the veterinarian that we cleared that up. Oh, they're BBs. It's birdshot. The thing was shot out of the sky. And then two hunters looked at the x-rays and I was at the Colorado conference and stated, it's number 7 birdshot.
They knew by the size.
They knew by the size.
When might it have been shot? Do we know who shot it?
No clue. No clue. None.
Location?
It's somewhere. Jaime knew that. Apparently it was on the exit. The family was driving from Guadalajara to Mexico City, and Jaime told me what the exit was, but I don't remember. It's a Spanish name, but it was an exit that they had pulled over so the 13-year-old boy could do his business. And he's finished, and he looks down, and there's this thing on the side of the road. And he has a presence of mind to pick it up, and they bring it to Jaime. And Jaime sent me a photograph when they first get this thing, and they're all examining.
How old is the little boy now?
I think that's like, don't quote me, 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
So he's still around?
Yeah, he's still around.
I wonder if we can get to him.
That'd be interesting.
Oh, be sure would. Jaime would know, would he not?
Jaime would know, yes.
Let's check into that. First-time caller, Corey in Stockton, California. Corey, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I met a woman who I think she might be a Nephilim, but I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
My grandfather died last year, and my mom invited me to his home to help sort out some of the things. And my mom has a brother who has a new girlfriend, and so I met her, and there's something strange about her.
Plus, she's 9 feet tall.
No, she was actually very energetic and very friendly, but there's something about her I wanted to see. So I looked into her eyes. I got into a well-lit room, and I looked at her eyes, and her pupils were like alligator pupils.
Reptilian, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, reptilian. And because there was no white at the bottom or the top. It was like a straight line of black with a little circle in the middle.
Yeah. That's reptilian. Now, reptilians, L.A., is that symptomatic of...
I'll tell you a story. This guy called us up. This was up in Canada. A friend of ours, he ran to this guy. The guy that had the experience ran to this friend. His name is Gordy. And so Gordy calls me up, and this guy is frantic. He's absolutely freaked out. And he was an experiencer. He had been abducted several times. He was in lots of UFOs. He was dating this one woman. She always wore sunglasses, and he just left. He just moved out of the area figuring, I got to get away from all these people. Maybe the abductions will stop. I'll stop seeing these things. And so he goes to this other town. Well, unbeknownst to him, this woman follows him there, and she invites him over. So he goes over, and this guy's telling me the story on the phone, telling me the whole story. This is like hours or after it happened. He's completely freaked out, and who wouldn't be? And she always wore sunglasses. And they're seated together in a room. They're having some wine. There's another woman, this woman's friend, and a fly. I'm not making this up, George. I wish I was. This fly lands on her glass, and this tongue flicks out of her mouth and grabs the fly and goes back. It's like right out of something.
Like a lizard woman.
Like a lizard. And she takes off her glasses, and there are the reptilian eyes. The guy flees the house. Runs.
I would too.
And then he's calling me on the phone, and we just told him what was going on. We sent him materials and books, and you know he gave his life to a higher power.
My God!
Gave his life to Jesus and got out of the thing.
But I might come back with flowers later on. You never know. Howard in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Howard, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call again.
Sure thing.
I have a thought I'd like to run past Mr. Marzulli there. We're speaking about the beings with the elongated skulls.
Sure.
Now, judging by their cranial capacity, I think I could assume that they probably had a tremendous intellectual capability, if not psychic ability as well.
Yes.
Now, that being said, perhaps they knew that eventually someone would have the ability to clone them. And that is why they went to such extreme lengths to preserve their DNA for long periods of time through the process of mummification. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great thought, and I got to tell you, I think it's already been done. I really do. I think, look, Steve Quayle broke the story years ago on Coast to Coast, where the pilot talks about, I think it's 2008, if I'm not mistaken, George, flying that body out of Afghanistan, more than likely to Wright-Patterson, Ohio. Are you kidding me? We know they have got to have taken samples, tissue samples, looked at the DNA. Who knows what they're doing? Creating super soldiers, injecting some of that DNA, modifying that DNA. But I think that's an astute observation on your part, and I think that's exactly what's going on.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Gosh, LA. Fast night.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
2 hours zipping by.
Where do you get the book, Nephilim Hybrids?
LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net. You can get Watchers 10 and Nephilim Hybrid, the companion book to that. And you can also go to Vimeo and watch Watchers 10 there. Our Vimeo account is LAMarzulli. So if you don't want to buy the whole DVD, you can just go to Vimeo and watch it. Very, I think it's groundbreaking material. The book has the printed out DNA evidence and results from the Canadian lab. You can look at that yourself. You can see what it is. There it is. It's a scientific report. No nonsense. You can see for yourself that something is going on with the Paracas skulls, and it's a Middle East origin, which basically rewrites the history that we've been taught.
All right, my friend. LA Marzulli, Nephilim Hybrids, always. He's always just a remarkable person, superb guest as well. Up next, Vincent Jenna joins us as we talk about the other side.